Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. In Colorado, the Whites Corporation, one of the largest construction companies in the country, is building the largest abortion facility in the country for Planned Parenthood, a $4.2 million facility. And Colorado Right to Life has a project headed up by one of their chapter presidents, Will Duffy, to try to get the Whites Corporation to either delay or to stop. The goal would be to cancel the whole project. And so Will Duffy's success so far is exciting. When you look at the energy, the momentum, the protest yesterday at the home of a senior vice president of the Whites Corporation, Gary Megason, with 50 people out in freezing wet snow in blizzard conditions. We'll tell you about that. And other things happening with the Whites Corporation here in Colorado and at their headquarters in Des Moines, Iowa, and the fact that they have not yet begun demolition on a permit that's due to expire. They've had it for months, should expire in about a week. But first, there have been quite a few babies saved at the existing Denver Planned Parenthood at 20th and Vine, and we have in studio Joe Scott of Pro-Life Colorado. Joe, welcome to Bob Inyart Live.
Thanks, Bob. Great
Joe,
to be here.
You told me about a couple of the saves recently that were just stunning. So I want to talk through, you know a lot about this Whites Corporation and the effort to get them to change their mind and not build this death camp. But before we talk about that, could you tell me about one of the recent saves? How many babies have been saved so far at Planned Parenthood this year?
65 so far.
65. Okay, so tell me about one, because in the numbers, we forget that these are real people with real kids.
That's true, and each one has such a story behind it. This one that I'm going to tell you about was especially surprising to me. A young couple they drove into Planned Parenthood. We tried to talk to them when they were in the car, as they drove into the parking lot, they wouldn't talk. When they got out of the car, the guy, big guy, was furious. He was yelling. Leo, who is a fellow sidewalk counselor protester.
He's in his 70s.
He's
there all the time.
Wednesday and Friday is a different place on Monday. Faithful, always faithful, always reliable. If Leo's there, I always feel good. Mm-hmm. So anyway, he goes up on the ladder, and Leo yells to him, "Don't be a coward. Take care of your child." And he gets furious.
Wow. So here's the 70-year-old guy saying to this big, younger guy, "Don't be a coward. Don't kill your kid. Take care of your child."
Right. And the
real men don't kill kids.
Exactly. And I think Leo may have said something to that effect also. And Leo gets down off the ladder, and this guy's coming
out
of the parking lot.
People listening, Leo gets up on a ladder. Why would there be a ladder on a public sidewalk at an abortion facility?
Well, the ladder's there because we want to be able to make eye contact with the people going in, and that's because Planned Parenthood put sheets up above the wall already there.
There's a wall, a cinder block wall, about 4 or 5 feet high. Then there's the wall of shame.
The sheets of shame.
The sheets of shame that go up about 7, 8 feet.
Yeah.
And so you guys bring ladders every day.
Uh-huh.
You set up these ladders, and people go up and stand up on the ladders to look over the sheets of shame into the parking lot where the women, the boyfriends, the husbands, the grandmas are taking their kids, grandkids to kill them.
Right.
Okay, so Leo's up there. He gets down off the ladder.
And he's going to the edge of the sidewalk where you can see into the parking lot. And here comes this guy after Leo. He's going to hit him.
So the guy didn't go into the abortion clinic. He was angry.
He was very angry. He was cussing.
Did his wife or girlfriend go in?
She went in. And he was coming after Leo. Leo didn't back down at all. I ran to the car and was yelling, "I have a camera," because I didn't want him to hit Leo, you know.
Right.
And the security guard kind of calmed him down a little bit, and he went inside, and we thought, you know, there's no hope for that baby. Mm-hmm. About a half an hour later, they drive into the driveway.
What do you mean? They were in the clinic.
And they both, the guy and the girl, come out.
They came out, got in their car.
Right.
And head for the driveway. In other words, to leave.
Right. And I saw them getting into their car, so I was yelling, stop, talk to us, take some literature. So he stops in the driveway, and he said, he rolls the window down, and I said, did you change your mind? And the guy says, yes. Hmm. I said, you did? And he said, yes. So I went to the other side of the car to talk to the girl. And I said, you're definitely going to keep your baby? And she said, yes. So I took a silver dollar that is donated to my ministry mm-hmm. out of my pocket to give to her. They're in little, neat little cases. And I said, this is a gift for your baby. I want you to understand that it's a silver dollar. It's made of precious metal. And that's to remind you that you're precious to the Lord, and so is your baby.
Wow.
And so she started to tear up then, and then I said, when your baby's old enough not to put this into a gumball machine and understand that it's money, I want you to tell him that Jesus loved him so much that he sent this gift to him before he was born, way before he was born. And they were both crying.
Oh.
And when Leo saw that, he ran to the car and he said, I want to apologize for calling you a coward. You're not a coward. You're a hero. You're going to take care of your child. And they're crying, and we said our goodbyes, and they left.
So that's what we call a confirmed save.
That's what it is. Yeah.
Many times, women with their boyfriends, husbands, whoever, go to Planned Parenthood to have an abortion, and they see all the pro-lifers, the Christians, the signs, and they will stop and park a block away. They'll argue. They'll drive around the block four times. The woman will be crying, and then they drive off. And we believe that that was an appointment to kill the baby, and they couldn't get themselves, or they were convicted by God, the Holy Spirit, their conscience. But we don't count those.
No.
Because we haven't talked to them. So confirmed saved so far this year?
65.
65 babies have been saved at Planned Parenthood at 20th and Vine by Christian pro-lifers, including Ken and Joe Scott, who are members of Denver Bible Church. Joe, it's an honor that you guys attend our church.
It's an honor to be there.
Oh, we're just really thrilled. And so that, you could compare that to the partial birth abortion ruling, which pro-lifers led by National Right to Life, Jay Sekulow, and Focus on the Family fought for 15 years for that ruling. About $250 million was donated to pro-life groups and leaders to fight partial birth abortion, fight for the ban. And now James Dobson and a dozen other major pro-life leaders have said ending partial birth abortion does not save a single innocent child.
That's right.
Not one. And here a few Christians from Denver Bible Church and a few other churches only go to Planned Parenthood, and 65 babies are saved so far that year. And over the past 15 years, it usually averages about 100 a year.
Right.
And so that's 1,500 confirmed saves, but we didn't raise the $250 million.
No.
We didn't
not
have
even
that
close
to work with. Okay, now, Joe, let's change topics for a moment. Because every single save is an extraordinary story, like the one you just told.
Right.
Everyone. And then they come back and they bring their babies.
Yeah. We have pictures.
Yeah. And sometimes they come to church.
Sometimes.
And Carrie came to church this past, she's been coming a few weeks now, but she came a few weeks ago and made a statement in front of the church. And she said, I want to thank the church. I want to thank Joe Scott, Doug McBurney for saving my baby's life. For saving my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I now know with God all things are possible, similar to what that gal from Paris said at the Colorado Right to Life banquet.
Binette.
Yeah, that was so exciting. And a couple gals. Heather, was it?
Heather,
also
too.
Went up there. And so, but let's go from that to the Whites Corporation. They're building this largest abortion facility in the country, $4.2 million project here in Denver, in our backyard. And they're sure not going to do that with peace and tranquility.
Amen, brother.
That's right. We are going to do everything we can to bring the war to them, to their neighborhoods, to their homes, because they're taking this minority neighborhood in Denver, and they're going to turn that into a war zone and make money off of a building that will kill children. And so we have been protesting, led by Will Duffy,
that's right,
who is a chapter president for Colorado Right to Life, and Keith Mason, who's been running a collaborators project for a couple years now. When people help Planned Parenthood kill kids, that's immoral. That's wrong.
Wicked.
And so we expose that, and we try to get them to change their mind.
That's right.
To not make money, blood money, by killing kids. So the Weitz Corporation, they're, I think, the 14th largest construction company in the country. They've been around the longest, I believe, since the 1800s, headquartered in Des Moines. And they have a Rocky Mountain division with a president, a couple senior vice presidents, others. And we have been going to the homes of some of their top executives in the Rocky Mountain division.
That's right.
And now also, as of today, in Des Moines.
That's right.
In Des Moines, Iowa, going to their homes of the executives. And yesterday, could you describe the protest yesterday?
Bob, yesterday was unbelievable. It was blizzard conditions. I mean, it had snowed so much by the time we had gotten to where we needed to turn into their street. You couldn't see the street signs. They were completely covered over with snow.
Right. A lot of people missed the turn off of Kipling and Asbury.
Right.
Because you couldn't see.
You couldn't see the signs.
Yeah.
And the signs were packed with snow, and the snow was blowing sideways.
Yeah.
And so we get into the neighborhood, and I was just amazed by the cars. They just kept coming and coming and coming. And there were so many people in these blizzard conditions with smiles on their faces and ready to be there, nobody complaining, walking the streets of that neighborhood.
Through the neighborhood, and some people out on the intersection at Kipling.
That's right.
And Asbury, with huge signs of aborted children to let people know that, you know, this neighborhood as an executive from the Weitz Corporation, and they're building a death camp right here in Denver.
Right. I couldn't, Bob. I could not. In my mind, I was imagining Gary Megason. He's the guy we picketed his house.
Senior VP construction.
Right. I could see him looking out his window and seeing all these people with signs in his neighborhood in blizzard conditions. And one protester, Larry, he's in his 70s. He's got an oxygen tank with him.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You know, I didn't think of that. But here's this guy, Larry, out there in this freezing weather with his oxygen tank, which has got to give, it's got to put an exclamation point on the statement that we are serious, that we have identified the Weitz Corporation as the chief collaborator for Planned Parenthood.
Right.
Nationwide. And we have told them that you are turning this minority neighborhood in Denver into a war zone. We are bringing the war to your neighborhood. To your neighborhood. And don't think this is going to be during construction. Because if you build this death camp for as many years as they are killing kids in that facility, we will be at your homes.
That's right.
The president, the senior vice presidents in Denver and in Des Moines, Iowa.
I will raise my grandchildren to be there. It had to say to him, this is not going away.
Yeah, and, you know, the guys who are running this project, Will and Keith, they're young guys.
Good.
Yeah, they're young. And they weren't even around when the home protest started 20 years ago. Yeah. At the Planned Parenthood abortionist homes in Denver. And so we're hoping Weitz gets the point that we've been protesting for 20 years at the homes of Denver's abortionists.
That's right.
Even though we have no expectation they will ever quit.
That's
none,
right.
None. Until they die. Now, we pray that they would repent, but we don't expect it. And we do it for a couple reasons. One is you don't get to kill kids with peace and tranquility and go home to your beautiful neighborhood and everything is like you don't kill kids for a living.
Right.
So no peace and tranquility with child killing. And secondly, to deter medical students from becoming child killers, abortionists. So the same thing with the Weitz Corporation. We want to deter other collaborators. Don't help Planned Parenthood kill kids. If you do, life can be miserable for you. And we don't want them to make this blood money with tranquility.
That's right.
You help to kill kids, you're going to suffer. And hopefully they'll figure out that it's not worth killing kids to make money. But some of them think it is, obviously.
I don't. You know, we went also last week, I think it was Saturday, we went to another
Don Gendel's home,
who is supposedly a good Christian.
Christian and pro-life.
Pro-life.
A lot of the neighbors come out and they say, hey, we're Christians. This executive, he's a Christian. We're pro-life even, they say.
Right. His wife said, it's just a very small part of my husband's business. Well, that might be true, but I said, you know, the most popular name in the Christian church today is Pontius Pilate. Mm. You know, you just wash your hands and walk away.
Right.
I said, we need you to help us. We need you to go to them. You have influence.
Yeah, it's just a small part of our business
to
kill kids. So so what? What's the point? What's your point?
Yeah.
And so these people say they're Christian. They say they're pro-life. The neighbors will come out and say, and I've now heard some of this with my own ears, and I've had reports from others, say the neighbors come and say, hey, we are Christian. We are pro-life. Our neighbor, he's building this place. He's Christian. He's pro-life. You can't judge.
That's right.
You can't judge. This is a free country, and get out of our neighborhood.
And this is offensive, and Jesus would never have offended.
Yeah, right.
Ever.
Even though God the Father refers to Jesus as the rock of offense three times in the Bible, in Isaiah, and in Romans, and in Peter. But the fact that kids are being killed to them, that they totally tolerate that. That's not a problem. The fact that you're in our neighborhood, that's the unforgivable sin. And they judge and they condemn and they're vicious. And you know what's interesting? When these people say they're Christian and pro-life, I believe them.
I think
they are.
Yeah.
I don't think they're lying to us. I think this is just another symptom of the problem nationwide of the complete collapse of Christian morality.
Oh, I think you're right, Bob.
The complete collapse of Christian morality because of our Christian leaders. And I think the pro-life movement has spearheaded this effort of bringing moral relativism into the body of Christ so you could feel good and rah-rah and collect millions of dollars on different projects and support candidates who are godless pro-aborts. And it all makes you feel good because you're winning and you're collecting money for your budget and all. But the morality of the body of Christ is just evaporating. And so there are Christians who literally believe that it's okay to build an abortion clinic. One woman, a neighbor of Gary Megason, said, hey, I'm Christian, and you don't understand. He's just trying to put food on his table. He's just trying to make a living.
I know. I talked to Gary Megason's daughter, and I asked her if her father was going to build a building that was going to be designed to kill his family in 2 years, would he build it? And she said, well, no, but that's because it's me.
Right.
And I said, well, honey, God's not a respecter of persons. Mm. And she said, well, you need to talk to my dad about that. And I said, no, you need to talk to your dad about that. Because I knew he wasn't going to talk to me.
Yeah, but, and hopefully she will. And so, and I think of Don Gendel really the most, because they claim, he and his wife, they're Christian and they're pro-life.
That's right.
They go to a Christian church.
She told me that I would be more effective if I would just go to the prayer closet and pray.
Oh, so they get to make money for building a death camp, and you have to pray about it.
I have to pray, and I turned to everybody who was there. I said, see, these people, if they were in their prayer closet last year, there would be 65 dead children because they weren't where they normally are.
Right. Yeah, God doesn't say pray and do nothing.
Right.
He says pray and warn people. If you don't warn them, I will hold you accountable. If you warn them, then the blood is on their hands. And he says, go out and love your neighbor and reach out to your neighbor. If they're going to kill the innocent, don't stand back and let them die.
That's right. In fact, one of the neighbors of the Gendel's neighborhood guys came out. He was really angry and shaking his fist and stuff earlier. And then he came out later on, and I said, look, I know you love your neighbor, but I think we love him more. Because we're willing to tell him the truth. Mm-hmm. And we went through Ephesians 5:11 with him, how you're supposed to expose evil, not fellowship and make money from it, you know.
And Planned Parenthood, with their, 78% of their clinics, they locate in minority neighborhoods. And they started with their racist past. Margaret Sanger had a Negro project to reduce the number of blacks. And, you know, she was friends with Nazi eugenists. And so they come out of that racist past and they focus on minority neighborhoods today. And so we have the Whites Corporation to help kill blacks. Whites to help kill blacks.
Yeah.
And there's got to be these connections that they just don't want long term with their company. For example, they're the construction company that built Columbine High School.
That's right.
Yeah. And when, we're not superstitious, and that doesn't mean anything per se. But, you know, people that build, they're a bit superstitious. They are. Like, they'll build a high rise and not put in a 13th floor.
That's right.
Because they're superstitious. So maybe when they build a high rise in Denver or in Cheyenne, they'll build it and they won't put a 13th floor and they won't have the Whites Corporation build it. Because, you know, they built Columbine, and they built this death camp.
This racist death camp.
This racist death camp in a minority neighborhood, and protesters come to their construction sites.
With graphic signs.
Yeah, of unborn children, and go to their subcontractors and urge them, don't work for this company. It's a blood money company.
That's right.
And so the Whites Corporation should think through all of this. And maybe they think, oh, well, you know, we could outsmart these guys. Well, Planned Parenthood has been trying to outsmart us for 25 years here in Denver. Mm-hmm. There have been protests actually for about, I think the 20th and Vine abortion clinic was the first freestanding abortion clinic in the country, I think, because abortion started here in 1967 for rape, incest, and health, and so on. So, and they put that abortion clinic up for sale.
Yes, it's up for sale.
And you, do you know the asking price? $1.75 million, which I don't know. I know that neighborhood is valuable, but it, you know, when people sell property, they always want a bit more than it's worth. But that property is worth a lot. And, you know, maybe someday that property will be owned by somebody who will lease that property to Colorado Right to Life.
Right. And
we'll have a Holocaust museum there open to the public and show how they killed kids there.
Yeah.
And with the goal of that being a headquarters toward one day stopping Planned Parenthood and the entire abortion industry from killing kids.
Hopefully.
So now the Whites Corporation, now they're in this fight with pro-lifers.
Now they are, whether they like it or not.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, Planned Parenthood, basically the president of Planned Parenthood one year ago was here in Denver, Aunt Cecile Richards.
Right.
And she said, I've never backed down from a fight. And she said, Colorado Right to Life is not going to take away a woman's right to choose. And she said she wants to fight.
Well,
so at the time, Columbine dad, Brian Rohrbaugh, who was elected as president of Colorado Right to Life, said, we accept the fight. And Brian Rohrbaugh said, abortion is always wrong. And Colorado Right to Life is not out for waiting periods or parental consent. We're out to stop the killing of unborn children. So here's Cecile Richards saying, come on, you know, we've never backed down from a fight. We want to fight. And she's inviting the Whites Corporation into that fight,
yeah.
Yeah, and they're in it. They got the fight.
That's right.
So
maybe we should alert whites to that they're being invited to a fight.
Yeah, right. And they say one of the wives of the executives said this is just a small sliver, and it is. They do like $1 billion worth of construction a year. This is $4 million. That's 4% of their revenue, and it is small. But, you know, I don't know if you're the head of a mafia group, if you're the godfather, how much of your time is spent actually killing people? Probably just a sliver.
Just a sliver.
Probably less than 1% of your time you're actually killing people. So here's the Whites Corporation with this smear on their corporate reputation for being in business since the 1800s. And if they build this death camp They're not going to be able to live that down. That will follow them throughout the history and the legacy of the Weitz Corporation. It'd be like if you could identify the company that built Auschwitz.
That's right.
And the builders who built Auschwitz. The only difference is today we have the internet, and this is going to be documented perpetually that these guys built a death camp. Do they want that as part of their legacy?
I hope not. I hope it bothers them, Bob. And it's not just being picketed here. Like you mentioned, it's being picketed in Des Moines today.
Yeah, that's right. And we have a truck, truth truck.
A truth truck.
At the home of, you know, a very expensive neighborhood.
Yes.
Of one of the executives who is listed as
their CEO.
Yeah. And the wife came out and said, "We're not CEOs. They're major stockholders. We know that.
Right.
But we're not. My husband's not the CEO any longer." And so one of the protesters said, "Okay, who is?" And she gives him the name. "Where does he live?" "Oh, he lives over there." So, you know.
So he left. Did he went to the Weitz Corporation and he'll be at the other address tonight.
Yeah. And there are others in Des Moines who are working on this. In fact, others who have been excited by the effort here. That's being headed up by Will Duffy, again, the president of a chapter of Colorado Right to Life, and Keith Mason, who's headed up this Collaborators Project for years. And, of course, here at Bob and Yurt Live, we support this. Denver Bible Church has been fighting to stop the killing of unborn children since their inception.
Mm-hmm.
Pro-Life Colorado is on this. Colorado Right to Life is a major push to focus on the Weitz Corporation.
That's right.
And so there's a lot of energy, a lot of momentum. It's exciting. We took the initiative from Chicago, actually Aurora, Illinois, with Joe Scheidler. And Chris Danzy down in Texas has flown out here. He did a tremendous job in Texas for a long delay at an abortion clinic being built there as a contractor working with subcontractors. They had to pour the cement in the dark at night. And they had to bring it in from far outside of the city. So we are getting help from around the country to focus on this project.
And our people are dedicated. Our people are really dedicated. They're not giving up.
Yeah, they're not giving up because we have an eternal focus.
That's right.
It's, you know, when they build this place, they're going to make a few $100,000 cold hard cash.
Mm-hmm.
Planned Parenthood kills a kid, they get $500 cold hard cash. We go out and protest. We don't get paid.
No.
No. It costs us money.
Yes, it does.
But we are doing this to obey God, to warn the wicked, to call people to repentance, and to love our neighbor, which includes the baby who's going to be murdered and the mom who will become a murderer.
That's right.
So, Joe, thank you. Joe Scott, Pro-Life Colorado, thanks for joining me.
My pleasure, Bob.
All right. That was a wonderful time. And you could help. Go to our website, kgov.com. Become a part of what we're doing. Come on out and visit Denver Bible Church. And also you could subscribe to the Bob and Yurt Live sermons, videos, Bible study albums. Maranatha, what a great school. Maranatha.